Dumelang Thobela ho la majita khonenda. Hello and welcome to this weekly news wrap brought to you by SL Cabinet, Sowetan Life Cabinet. My name is Herman Moloi.
My name is Kwena Mashale.
My name is Nandintini.
And we are here to bring you the hottest and busiest news on the waves this week. We are the youth of today, bringing you all the things that you need to know. The current news, obviously, you know us as SL Cabinet, through our landscapes or our eyes, if you can say. I hope you stick with us and enjoy as we look into the week's biggest stories. We talk about those who are controversial, jwalo ka bo Kwinana, and yeah, Nandi, you can take it from here.
Hi guys, so today we have such an interesting topic about community of property. But before we just dive into that, I'm not sure if you guys noticed that Sowetan has a new look. So basically in the new look, you find that we have bigger fonts, ensuring a comfortable reading experience for our customers. And just maybe, Gwena, Herman, do you have something to put in before we dive into the story?
For me, the good news is that we are still less than seven rand per fetu, so you can still afford the newspaper.
That's true. I think I like how compact it is, and it also just gives you information that is straight to the point, you know. Doesn't waste your time, you know, for those people who have a short attention span.
I think it's a
very, very new look.
And your thoughts?
My thoughts?
It.
I like the paper. Like Gwena said, I mean, it's straight to the point, straightforward. And yeah, it's just bits of bits.
So, yeah, Nandi, you were telling us about the lobola that went wrong. And then now we have to sell a house from 1.5 million
to 1,000.
So what's happening in there, Kanti?
So in Mahikeng, there's this couple. Basically, they divorced in 2022.
Lisa.
The divorce settlement, included the house, basically. So we I think we all know community of property is 50-50, so the house was put there. So last year, I think the house was auctioned for 1,000 rands, where else it's worth 1.5 million. So apparently the wife led the lawyer to bid for the house. So it was two bidders. The one bidder was not mentioned, but the lawyer was part of the bidders and bid 1,000 rands for the house. But the court obviously said, no, it's not fair. Because now it means, do they have to share 500?
Ah, chief.
1.5 million.
No, maybe you know what might be the case. I'm not saying it's true. The wife has a nice place there in
Mahikeng.
Not even Mahikeng. Island. I nearly said something that will bring bad memories to our publications.
Yes.
So maybe the wife has something interesting, a big house somewhere. So she just needs this 500 to ensure that this house is gone. Whoa, she wants to do this thing. What to say?
Never. They have a thing with the lawyer. But listen, Herman, while you're saying that, somewhere in the story it says that the husband tried to sell the house for 900,000. And then the wife said, no, buy me out for 700. And then when the husband did not pay attention to that, ignored that, the wife was like, I'm taking the house to auction.
Maybe they left another two zeros there by mistake.
No, but at the end, it's just dodgy, at the end of the day. Because how do you, as my attorney, let's say now I don't even know that when you auctioned the house, which is obviously a lie in this point. She knew very well that the house was going to be auctioned, and she knew very well she put it there up there for auction for 1,000 rand. So you're telling me you went from 1.5 million to 1,000 rand? Oh, guys,
guys, I'm gonna say this again. Remember, we had a president for 9 years who said million, trillion, whatever. So maybe they left two zeros by mistake. It's possible.
I totally agree with the court and the judge. It's not fair to the husband.
What if they agree with that? Now the husband is like, no, I'm gonna lose here. So She's like, no, you know what? I didn't agree to this thing.
It is a little.
I mean, you mentioned all the guys from 900K. Now it's 1,000. So maybe the wife wanted to go beat down and say 100K, and then she left some zero.
You know what? It's dodgy.
This is why we are advocating that people must. Well, I am advocating that people must marry. In what's that other one? Not
is it prenup?
Prenup.
And also, what's the other one? I'm saying at this point, I know, but at this point,
we don't know guys have a
guy. Come with what you have and leave with what you have.
Exactly. Honestly,
so why are we building it?
But also, there's something of accrument, where yes, you come with what you have, and then whenever we divorce, we will share what we accumulated together. Yes. I think that one would work.
Yes.
But then, guys, when we say we're married, we are saying that we're actually building.
Thank you so much.
Let's build together.
Let's move on. Thank you so much on that topic, Nandi. So, guys, let's move on to the next one. Because I think this one has been making rounds on social media, and I think it will still continue to make rounds, even despite Police Minister Senzo Mkhune this Monday, saying that they want to speedily wrap this thing up. So, guys, now they've discovered that there's over 96 undocumented children have been taken from the mines. The Stilfontein mine in Northwest. I'm right on the province, right?
Northwest, yeah.
Yes. So, before we delve into the much more deeper understandings of that, so the children were taken in by the Department of Social Development, who says that it is their responsibility to take care of the children because of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to the acting director of the National Department, Batembu, speaking on the matter.
The Northwest Provincial Department of Social Development received information that about 96 undocumented children had been arrested and detained as part of the illicit miners in Kuma, Stilfontein. Most of the illicit miners, including the undocumented children, are suspected to be originating from SADC countries, namely Mozambique, Namibia, Zimbabwe, and Lesotho.
So basically, and what's funny is that on Monday we started with 96 children, but recently an article written by the Eyewitness News says that it's now has grown to over 100 children aged between 14 and I think they said 19 or 16 there. So what are you guys' thoughts on this matter? I mean, do you think it's human trafficking?
I think it's human trafficking. I mean, Hemen.
I'm not saying anything.
Your facial expression says everything. I won't look at you, but
I think... Let me be the referee. Yeah, do you go first?
So I think it's human trafficking, man. And I know like kids now are different.
Yes.
But you can't leave Lesotho willingly and come and stay underground because when you think now you're an adult, you want to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Most definitely these kids were trafficked. Mm-hmm. And also most of them, I heard them saying that there was a quantum saying that, hey, there's a job, we are promising you for a job. But when you ask, they start pulling guns and saying, well, get in. I think that also happened to the kids. And I know illegal mining is illegal mining, but the kids were trafficked.
Hey, man.
Illegal mining is illegal mining, but the kids are trafficked. So, Nani.
Okay.
Wena. You're having a conversation, eh?
Yes.
So, we've been following this thing.
Yes.
Yes, we may agree some were trafficked wherever they were trafficked. But there are people who are underground and enjoying the situation.
Mm.
I
mean,
I looked at a video, one video whereby I forgot her name, but she's a reporter from EWN.
Mm-hmm.
She has been there, like, she's been breaking that story nicely.
Mm.
So she was interviewing one of the kids who was found there, 17-year-old.
Yeah.
To say, Chief, what's happening? This guy was saying, Echo, we wake up at 6 until 5. We work.
Mm.
After waking, we go to the spas and we chill na Majita. After chilling with Majita, we come back, we watch TV. And we have fridges and TV. So it's a lifestyle. They are living. It's normal for them. So you can say you are trafficked while you are enjoying the situation.
But also, Herman, how long have you been there? Listen, Herman, okay, fine. How long have you been there? Let's say
He said 3 months.
I mean, this 17-year-old, they say there was a brother, because most of them would say, oh, fine, my brother. And then, obviously, at first, you don't like it. Yeah. But you see that your brother, okay, look, and obviously. See. There's also another sense of freedom for the kids.
Let's not decorate crime when it's done by kids. Let's be honest. Mm-mm, they wait willingly.
Okay.
I still differ. Okay, the kids,
there might be cases of human trafficking.
Yes, and then they got used to the environment because they see that we can't go anywhere.
Guys, at this point, we can stipulate, we can come up with theories of what happened to the kids, how the kids ended up there. Ne? But they are with the DSD right now. They are in, they're still going to be prosecuted. But I think Batembu said that they still will be persecuted and will be taken through legal actions. But Oksalayo, they are still children at the end of the day. Yes, I understand your point, Herman, when you say illegal minding, let's not decorate crime. Vele, it's a crime, Nandi. Let's not decorate it. But Oksalayo, at the end of the day, they are children. And the Constitution says, as South Africans, we need to take care of the children and make sure that they are deported or taken back to where they come from. So let us leave the topic there.
I lied to these people that you are calling children were ready and willingly having their spade and shovel in their hands. Destroying the country's economy.
Again, that's what they were given.
Yeah, they were ready to destroy the South African economy.
Hey man, one month you are.
No, chief.
But you are resisting. The second month you see, no man, I'm not going anyway. No, I might as well just give up.
No, but I think
so you're saying abusers should stick there and say, no, I'm not getting
out. That's what's happening mostly with people who are abused. They get used to the situation.
We should not normalize that thing.
But that's how it is,
Okay, the discussion is finished. Debate finished. Debate finished. Ding, 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 ding. 1 point, 1 point. You guys get 1 point. Thank you so much. I'm moving on. But now, all I'm just saying is that I feel like we're going to expect more children to be resurfacing soon. I don't think they're willingly. Speaking of children, guys. So, again, Police Minister Kono actually answering, while it was actually a whole media briefing on crime statistics when he mentioned the Stilfontein situation. And like, obviously us being the Sowetan, we like taking things away, like, you know, diving deeper. So we went as far as comparing as the statistics of the first quarter to the second quarter. And we found that between April and September 2024, over 2,500 women and children were murdered in South Africa, averaging 14 murders per day, guys. And obviously, this is obviously, Kuru did highlight that, no, contact crimes have decreased in the country, but yet women and children, the murders, the attempted murders, I think they keep increasing. Although he said that rape has gone down. Well, okay, sharp, rape has gone down, but Oksalayo, we're still dying. There are people who are still dying. And what's funny is that he starts the briefing on the same day as the first launch of the 16 days of activism against women and children, you know. And Unu Sufi, I think, on a similar day, maybe a few days later, had a speech of his own on GBV. And obviously, we're going to keep seeing that from politicians as the 16 days goes by. But he says that we cannot continue to let... What did he say? He said we cannot bow our heads in shame as women continue to be murdered and children be murdered as well. Let's take a listen to that clip as well.
There is one crime that continues to raise its ugly head in our province. It means the plans that we've put, Provincial Commissioner, are not good enough. And that crime is gender-based violence in our province. As we observe 16 days of no violence against women and children, we must bury our heads in shame, Commissioner, that our women are not safe in Gauteng, that our children are not safe in Gauteng, that we need a special intervention unit to assist us to arrest this ever-increasing number.
Guys, is the country losing against the war of GBV? Thoughts? Herman, let's go with you first this time.
Laju, before we start, you heard Ukwena said 250 instead of 2.5. So it might be the case with that first story that we're doing. No, I'm not there. She rectified herself, which is fine. Maybe this one, the lawyer was not like, okay, I tried. Anyway, are we losing the fight against GBV? One might argue that we are seeing the number decreasing from previous states.
Yes.
So we might say it's an achievement.
Yeah.
But it's not because one soul lost is too many.
Yeah.
So as long as we are experiencing this thing, for me, yes, we are losing the battle against GBV. We see the consequences of GBV. We see this topic is very touchy to me because it goes back to Lufuno that took her life when she was assaulted at school. We have seen numerous things happening in our society. We hear the allegations against rapper AKA. We know the whole conversation that was surrounding their marriage.
Yes.
So it's very crucial topic. We know who CC is, it CC and Osama Fokate. So I'm trying to highlight the people we say are prominent. So if those people who go on stage or who go on field every day, they can go with masks on themselves. What about those who can actually be seen or who can't speak out to say, this is happening to me, guys? So we had a little conversation with one expert. It was around the same question to say, are we seeing the importance of 16 days? So what he basically said, he said, yes, because it allows the conversation to say, when she hears us talking about GBV, she will say, oh, I'm not alone. Maybe I should speak out. But it's rare whereby people say, you know what, I'm abused. I mean, with males, the only reason they don't speak out is because they are judged to say, you are a guy, how can this be allowed? And when you are a lady, again, you were wearing short skirt,
You were more invited.
You call them to yourself. And then, okay, sharp, you go to a police station. The same people who should assist you with crime, they ask you stupid questions. They make you lose this moral and energy to report such cases. Because you go there and they tell you, you know what, we can't help you. You don't have DNA. And I was actually going to touch on that because I want to bring it from reporting it, how difficult it is to report these cases, because you are just from the stage where you're trying to voice out to say, guys, this is happening to me. You go, okay, sharp, you manage to open a case. This person gets 500 page. Obvious, this is Earth. You're gonna see him. What makes you? How are you supposed to feel when you see this person that assaulted you or raped you 2 weeks back? And then okay, sharp, he's able to defend himself. After that, he is a free man. He left you with a mark. He left you with a disease that you can't even think of. We know HIV is still a strong and a very serious disease. But you have STIs. How are you supposed to go on with relationships if you have STI? Because I know for one, if you go to your partner and say, Echo, I have this thing, she or he will see you defiant. And in some cases, it's not even about you being wanting to have that thing or whatever is happening. And then same process in court, they tell you, no, we have a backlog. We can't give you a DNA. It's another challenge. You go to people who invest their feelings in these cases. So for me, it's a very concerning topic. And yes, we are to conclude, yes, we are losing the fight against GBV. Yeah. Sorry to be
Also hearing it from a guy's perspective, I think it's more than enough. And what Hyman said, it's really true. And I don't think I have anything to add because I really feel like we are losing the battle. And Bona, they might think they're calculating those women who come and report, but we have a lot of kids in, and also not just kids, but women in the rural areas that say, no, let's keep it under the carpet.
Yeah.
And then this kid grows up with it. Bumalume. And it's just an issue that as South Africans, I just hope it does not become the death of us, but it's very bad. And Hemen, you covered it nicely.
But yeah, guys, for me, it's very concerning topic that needs to be broken down to see what we can do.
I think when people ask, are we losing the battle or not, I think it's a very, very particular question, because I don't think this is a battle that can be lost and can be won. It just doesn't, it needs not to exist at all. And I think that's where we get the concept wrong. But you know what, hopefully the police, I don't even know what more to say about the police.
Also, just ask families, man.
Yeah.
Let's just be truthful. Yeah. Let's call each other out.
And what's funny is that this thing always have those building bricks or layer steps. So once you see who, once you see who you are being abused at some point, just report it.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are different of forms of abuse. But yeah, let's move to another topic, guys, because we might even start crying.
Yes. On Wednesday, we saw that Randfontein was hit by a tornado. Yeah. And at first, we thought maybe, no,
it's the small one.
Actually, one of the residents who was actually witnessing this, I mean, he's not the affected one, but he like saw the block like in front of him, where he was staying. And he said the geysers were flying and the roofs were flying. So. And you could tell from his face that, no man, this guy is serious. And it was a shock because he was like, what if it comes to me? So he was just anticipating, which if it comes, I mean, what am I gonna do? And also, it's just tricky. I mean, what's happening with these buildings of ours? Because someone on Twitter said something very interesting. Also, the apartheid buildings withstood. Is it right, right?
Yeah.
This tornado. And then the building that was built 3 years ago was like, this tornado is too much for me.
Is it a conversation? I know we're gonna touch back tornadoes to it, but is it a conversation that are we experiencing climate change? Because I mean, it becomes too hot.
Yeah,
Joburg experienced snow.
Yeah,
you see, there are conditions
you have KZN, I think it was in Mpumalanga, at some point they also experienced snow.
But when it happened in KZN, it was like, But last year, it happened in Joburg, we were like, what's happening?
No, guys, I think first, first, it's actually on the topic, Nandi.
Yeah.
You spoke to a resident, right?
Yeah.
I think we can use a clip.
Oh, yeah. Let's take a listen to
that one resident who explained his own experience as well, besides the man who saw the geyser flying. And that's actually an interesting one.
There's a bit of trauma as well because Mtana Segini, like a brick fell on his head. So then he had to run into the fire escape. It's just a traumatic experience, Honano.
Just what you said, Herman, about climate change. Because I don't think the government is actually realizing, well, not realizing fast enough, I guess. Because I had a conversation with someone, I think it was the Department of Agriculture or something, and they said that, no, we are noting the climate change. It's just that it takes a long time for these plans to come into action. So while these plans are coming into action.
People are losing their whole lives.
People are losing their homes. And I think we should have learned, guys, from the KwaZulu-Natal earthquakes and the mudslides and all those things. People lost homes back then. I remember. Sure. And very now every time KwaZulu-Natal is forever hit with something, and you would think the municipality by now or the province by now would have a proper disaster management coping mechanism, but they do not have it.
As long as KJs are eating, it's okay for them. It's okay for them.
And
then ones go missing. I mean, we are about to be hit by a declaration of national state of disaster with this food poisoning. We know who money is going to be pumped in and pumped out anyway. Yeah. How, God knows how.
Yeah, we're going to have another social relief crisis.
Yeah, we saw it happening with COVID. But again, let's leave the topic for another day. Let's go back to the geyser story. I mean, if a geyser with the weight it has
was flying,
what about me?
So, I was gonna get.
No one was flying, but instead, I get it was the people from Boxer that actually,
were injured.
The ceiling fell
on their mouth. And then,
I was gonna get it right to see God.
I think the government really, really needs to start preparing because climate change is happening fast and they're not preparing for it. I mean, remember, people got stuck on the, was it the N what? The N, was
N3.
People got stuck.
To KZN.
People were stuck on it because there was no equipment. Literally, we don't have equipment.
They must not prepare money. They must prepare strategies that will be
easy.
Because we know when we speak about
money.
That's why they must start creating other machines or something, because clearly South Africa is also starting to experience what they
really from a safe country.
The hotness, I know Pluto is hot, not even breaking or something, because I know Gwen is going to come after me. So I'm saying it's very hot in Pretoria. I don't know if it's my room or what, but then when I'm from Joburg, the moment I go out from the Gautrain, it's like someone is coming with a heater and saying, hello. It's very hot. I've been trying. I'm not good at drinking water, which is wrong, I admit. Unandi, I know you're going to come after my back. But guys, I've been trying to drink water, but it seems like eating water is not doing anything.
I'm so sorry we keep going off, but going back to what happened in... Where is it?
Randfontein,
right? Guys, but I must say, the municipality is taking good care of them, eh? They're like, no, we don't worry. We have accommodation ready for them.
I think we're paying rent. Why not? How can I? Do you think someone who's paying rent, you gotta say, go look for something else?
It happens. This is our Africa.
They will tell you go look for something else.
We saw it happening. They only pay for 2 to 3 months and you still be covered.
But also, I think it's because they had vacant units, so that's where they.
I mean, this thing, I think it's disaster management. Mm. We have seen it happening over the years. And it's actually a conversation that we should have. Some provinces are doing well. Some provinces don't have money. I mean, you were covering
Free State a few months back.
And I'm from Maluta Pofung. I know how TV is either Shatrick and Lightning. And then we were told to register that we get a new TV.
Even today, we have to register.
So, conversation around disaster management, it's a conversation that we should have. I mean, I was listening to Omegji and Panyasa Lesufi saying that we, the media, only focus on the bad thing. We should always cover both sides.
Yeah.
And I agree with him that sometimes we should just have good stories.
I don't have good stories, but cutting a ribbon on a house that was supposed to be...
I didn't say cutting ribbons. You know how I feel about cutting ribbons, and I'm not going to go there.
We can't come to a place where I must not take a picture of you cutting a ribbon for something that we were supposed to already do long time ago.
Yes, if you're cutting ribbons for 500,000 RDPs, then I'm all into calm. And I will even post on my personal account to say mayor of where
yeah.
did this today, and I will ping it so that for days or for weeks you see.
Yeah.
But you can't be calling me to cutting ribbons of two houses. I'm not gonna go.
But hey guys, let's move on, guys. Let's move on to actually another one. Hey, this is not a tornado per se, but it's an outburst. Nandi, can you please introduce us and tell us what Malema said this week?
Well, fine. I didn't really dive into it. I was just listening to the news in the morning.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Thanks, Hemi.
So, firstly, Ash. You know, it's very interesting times on social media since the establishment of MK Party by like former President Jacob Zuma.
Yes.
I called him former president. Wow.
Wow.
So, we have seen people leaving EFF to go to MK. We are also aware that between these political parties, they have major events coming this December. We have MK Party, which will be celebrating a 1 year anniversary. We have EFF that will be electing its top six. So Malema had a press briefing on Monday where basically he was outlining the plans to move towards the 14th to the 15th where they will be electing the new top six. So the reason why I'm saying it's been interesting to see in social media, it's not good, but then that engagement that we've been seeing, it shows people are actually interested in our politics. Okay, so Malema said, you know what, Uzuma, you are my first enemy because you've been taking people.
Yeah.
And people now are busting back. I hear Malema busted and say, you know what, Zuma, you're actually our enemy, and you don't even want to see a green fee during our protest going to constitutional court, whereby we had a big case. So the MKP guys came back with some shots that were taken during the interviews and everything, whereby Malema was trying to direct the spokesperson, national spokesperson of EFF. So what basically happened is that Malema had called media to say, guys, it's time to engage. I'm not going to present anything. So the spokesperson basically thought, okay, Malema is going to say something and then and then the media will ask questions. So Malema was straightforward to say, like, Malema didn't call
Leanne
to say, no, it's not how
he basically just told you
know, Malema being Malema. Hey, we're not doing that. We are doing this way. So people are coming to say, Chief, you are wrong. So, yeah, basically, I'm going to move from the press briefing because it's been a long week. We had constitutional court. And I've just mentioned that these guys are going to their biggest events in politics.
I think let's first go with the Shivambu matter. And did you know a little bit about it as well?
Shivambu. Malema just said, if you continue saying your thing, I'm going to speak. But also, I liked how Newsroom Africa, is it Adriel? He said, this is the same thing that Jacob Zuma said. I'm going to speak. These people just keep on throwing threats. I don't really believe you.
Chief. Their time is out.
Honestly.
But we do have a clip of Malema saying that, so we'll just pray for you guys.
But I regarded him as my brother. If he doesn't feel the same about me, it's his own problem. So I did everything for him as a brother. I did. And I must be challenged one day and be pushed. I will talk. Don't push me.
But enough of honestly my type, guys. One of them, Malema and Shivambu discussions and the fight. I am staying out of it. I don't really like. I cry the drama, and it's so. And I feel like it's. I find it so very unnecessary for the drama to be happening. Like, Shivambu, deal with it. And really, I don't agree with the way he dealt with Leanne. I think he should have pulled her to the side and said, Leanne, we're doing it. And also, it doesn't even look like Leanne knew what was going on. He just called the briefing and said, we're doing it. So what's going on?
As a spokesperson, you have a clear mandate because, I mean, when you send invite, you know, okay, this is how it's going to happen.
That's why I'm saying, Kore, it seems as if Leanne didn't understand the memo and Malema didn't explain it to her properly. Because if it was explained properly, Leanne would have not done the manner what she did. She would have done. And Malema wouldn't have had to, like, basically, he practically spanked her on this television.
It was not a spank. You know, the problem is that we expect people to speak in a certain way to show respect, and we think once you're vocal, you're showing disrespect. Sometimes you should call a spade a spade. When you're doing something wrong, I must tell you in front of people, not
did he sit down with the spokesperson and say, this is how you're going to do it?
That's their conversation.
I mean, you know, Guti, whenever we reach out to spokesperson, they actually defend their people. I don't think she would have done that. I don't think she did that on purpose.
It's just some members trying to decorate their fight with Malema. And that for me, it was not even about that. Umalemo was saying, no, we are not doing that way. It was not even rude. It was just straight to the point. But then we have people who want to, we know every leader, Ramaphosa, is being paved with the Palapala thing. Zuma, I'm still, Umalema, being rude, Ushibambu, what's that, the grants in Limpopo. The case VBS matter. So we have people who are always trying to find. I know I'm not saying they are not guilty or guilty, but we have people who always link bad things.
I understand.
So yeah,
let's just move it on, guys. Let's move on. Okay, so let's run it up, guys. Exam season, if it is.
Hey, the guys, don't do pens down. We remember we had a case in the Eastern Cape, I think.
We were, and I was about to touch on that, Herman. Guys, while some metrics this year will be doing pens down, some are going through psycho support, guys. Same here, there was a case, the minister was basically on, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? One of the 2 days, she was basically briefing the media on the finalization and the conclusion of the NSC examination and everything like that, right? So she mentioned that, no man, there were 4 students who were gang raped while they were preparing for the exam. But those 4 students still proceeded to write the exam, even with the trauma. And I think for me, that's very, very profound. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
In the Eastern Cape, 5 learners were gang raped while they were preparing for their exams at a local home. And just weeks later, another female student was also gang raped on November 13th, also in the Eastern Cape. These heinous acts are a tragic reminder of the dangers that many of our learners face, especially young girls. As we observe 16 days of activism against gender-based violence and femicide, let these incidents be a rallying call to us all as South Africans to stand against these barbaric acts.
She commended them for the fact that they went through the trauma, but they were like, I still need to write the exam.
One subject, but I get it's pending. You can't do anything. So
I'm not laughing. Yeah. It's what they thought.
You can't go through this again.
Like, metric is very challenging, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So you can't do that again.
But and I get it that you have been given the option to kind of write it on another day.
And I think it's very hard to get an opportunity to say that. But again, when you speak about...
Yes, continue.
When you speak about rape, firstly, it's not the first case. Remember, it also happened in KZN, I think, at the beginning of B exams. It goes back to the fight against GBV.
Mm.
So yeah, it's very touching conversation, that one. I don't think we'll even end today.
We'll probably all won't. But I must say, I commend the girls.
I also feel like, you know what, they should have taken some time off to deal with it and come back stronger. But either way, they felt like, you know what,
they wanted to get it done.
Yeah. Mm. So they did it. We just hope for the best.
I just hope that when they were writing it, they were writing with not a clear mind, obviously, because they just experienced trauma. Mm. But I think,
I really feel like maybe they were writing in terms of saying, I don't want next year to say, when people ask me, why didn't you write your matric? And that recall that experience. Yeah. They have something good that came out of this year, regardless of whatever they experienced. Mm.
So, I think from everyone's point of view, especially with the basic department, the Department of Basic Education is very good at giving psycho support. They're very, very good at it.
I think this year they've been
psycho support.
Didn't receive it. There's been too much trauma. I mean, exams have been chowing me, but yeah.
but she mentioned more on that around 800,000 candidates completed their exams, and markers, 50,000 markers are set to start. But next year, guys, January 14, 15, that's buy newspapers. You know how your parents are, but Free State, get ready. You know, Moto, people will be asking you which garage, which newspaper.
But at the Free State, we know we are number one, so it's.
Okay, we'll see.
That's what you think.
Yeah. I'm not bad money on it. My 100 came. My 1,000. I want to buy a house.
Anyway, guys, that's all for this week's news wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcast review and subscribe for free on Iono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, Gogo Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. This week's producer was Ubulelani. Udemi was out sick, but thank you, Bulelani, for coming in for her. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories from me, Gwena Mashali, and my colleagues, Nandi, Ntini, and Herman Malloy. Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.